I heard you mention earlier police and fire department will be present. We got a letter this last week confirming two other dignitaries that will be here. One that's kind of important. No, I'm not considered. There's nothing about me that's considered dignitary in any way, shape, or form.
I didn't want to assume.
People that are new, that's a new experience for them to find out, but yeah, nothing there. So two dignitaries this last week confirmed they'll be here. One, the other huge. So the mayor's coming. That's a pretty big one, actually. That's pretty cool. So she'll be here. And bigger than that, Santa Claus actually sent us a letter, and he confirmed. So he's open that day. He'll be here. He'll be riding in on a fire truck. So don't tell the mayor I said Santa was bigger than she is, but it's kind of a deal. So, hey, let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Would you be with us as we look into your word and as we talk about some of the practical ways to look at life specifically how we can grow and survive relationships, and especially as we look at moving into the holidays. Would you be with us this morning? Help us to hear from you, be challenged by you, and ultimately be transformed to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Something about my job that maybe you're not aware of, and specifically about my job where I stand up here on a Sunday morning, it's created sort of this idea, maybe a perception by people that I'm really friendly. We joke from time to time in staff meeting that I don't actually like people, which is certainly not true. I like people. I just like to avoid most of them as well. And truly the problem isn't people. Like, you're great people. It completely lies with me. I am the problem. I'm just naturally more introverted than extroverted. And because of my job, people tend to think that I'm, you know, just out there. But I love to just get away and be in a smaller group. And one of the great examples of my introverted side is that not too long ago I was at Fred Meyer's. And I was walking along, you know, there's kind of the main section where you're trying to pick which aisle you're going to go down. So I'm walking to find my aisle, and about three aisles up or about four aisles up, a person walks around the corner and towards me, and I know the person, and they're a friend of mine. And as they might not be a friend if I told who it was, but so they walk around the aisle, and as they turn the aisle, and they're walking around the aisle, they come around the corner, and I did my best Marshawn Lynch jump cut. And I was down the next, I didn't need this aisle. But I was down this aisle as fast as I can, and I pull out my phone, and I was like looking for things that don't matter, and I watched them slowly walk by, and then I went back on my way. And there's this individual, I like this individual, there's nothing wrong with this individual, I'm not afraid of this individual, and I honestly literally don't even realize I'm doing it. There months ago, a couple years ago, the Starbucks that I hang out at, this gal comes in all the time, the FedEx driver, and she delivers, and then she gets coffee, and so we see each other all the time, we're not really friends. One day, I was at home, and the FedEx truck pulled up, and it was her. And we have a pretty big window in the front, and she started to get out of the truck, and I literally did this, and I hit the floor. Dropped to the ground. She came, knocked, rang the doorbell. I just laid low until she left. It's ridiculous. I don't even know what happened. I don't even try. I don't think about it. But similar, I think, for a lot of us, just in our relationships, sometimes we tend to respond in ways that are similar because we get into relationships or we get into situations or part of relationships and we avoid them. Or we don't know how to manage them, and so we just try to, you know, or maybe you're the person or the thing that gets avoided, right? Like, whatever it is, there's these relational struggles, and there's these parts to our relationships that we're like, you know, how do I deal with these? And those areas of relationship where we struggle get highlighted even more when we get to the holidays. And those struggles, as they grow, if we don't begin to figure out how to deal with them, especially around the holidays, we will get crushed. And there's this thing that Jesus said one time that where he calls us for how we're supposed to be motivated to handle these relationships that actually makes it a little bit more difficult, I think. Right before Jesus left, he gave us some instructions for those of us that are his followers. He said, here's how I want you to treat each other. Here's how people are going to know that you're a follower of mine. And sometimes when we try to follow this plan, it can actually make relationships a little bit trickier because we have to give more of ourselves. The scripture is going to be on the screen. It's in your notes. But in the book of John, Jesus gives us some instructions. Here's what Jesus says. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. when it comes to relationships, if we don't handle them right, life becomes really difficult. And again, if we don't handle these relationships right around the holidays, we can get crushed. And Jesus is calling us to something, to love one another, and we're like, okay. And so during the series, what we want to look at is, how do we avoid getting crushed in some of the tricky areas of life? How do we navigate Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's? And how do we love in these relationships and not get crushed? Last week we talked about how do we find contentment in life. In a couple weeks, next week, we're going to talk about how do we remain authentic. Then we're going to talk about maintaining compassion. And then at the very end, we're going to talk about how do we find rest around Christmas, right? This week, relationships. And we hear Jesus say, love each other. And that's maybe not a new thing. Maybe you've heard that before. And maybe you've tried to love others and it's just blown up in your face. And likely some of the people that you've attempted to love, that you're supposed to love, are family members. And let's be honest, family members can be the weirdest people in the world, right? If they weren't family, you're like, I can't think of a reason other than incredible pasta salad that I would want to spend time with them, right? And relationships have these struggles, and that's not a new thing. Now, there's like any of my family that listens to this are like, oh, I make the pasta salad. He thinks I'm weird. Anyway, that's good. It's probably time they know. But anyway, but as long as people are involved in relationships, they'll take work. But there's some things that we need to be aware of when it comes to relationships so that we don't get crushed. And the idea with relationships that we need to be aware of is that with relationships, they have some new rules. There's some new rules that have sort of grown. And they're not necessarily good. They're not necessarily bad. There's just some things that have changed about relationships. Technology has impacted the rules. Our ability to relocate easily has changed the rules. The fact that our world has gotten smaller because of travel and because of communication, or cultural norms have changed the rules. Quality of life and the fact that we are living longer has changed some of the rules. And these rules can have some negative aspects, but they also have some positive aspects. And it's not so important that we decide whether the rules are good or bad. It's just whether we know the rules so we don't get crushed by them. And it's critical that we know these rules when it comes to relationships. And regardless of what the rules are, the number one rule that we come back to is, if I'm a follower of Jesus, if I claim to be somebody that listens to him, my number one rule is that I have to love in spite of or in addition to all of these rules. And when I predicate it, or when it's all based on love, that's when relationships begin to thrive. That's when our relationships begin to grow. So let's look at these rules. And these aren't like in the Bible, obviously. They're just rules that have happened with life. And then look at them through the lens of loving each other. The first rule is this. The term friend has transitioned. Each week, if you follow us on Facebook as a church, we do this thing called the Volunteer of the Week, where we highlight somebody that volunteers, and we write up a little thing about the person and the areas that they volunteer, and we talk about some of their personality traits, and we post a picture of the individual. Last week, our Volunteer of the Week was a gal named, I think it was this last week, her name was Emily Bauman. And Emily has gone to church here, I believe, her whole life. Right, and so I know Emily well. Elizabeth knows her well, and so this last week, the person that was putting together the article, she had the article written up. She knew the things about her. She just didn't have a picture, and so she sent Elizabeth and I a message and said, "Hey, are you friends with Emily?" Well, instinctively, we both knew she wasn't saying, "Hey, do you care about Emily? Hey, do you ever spend time with? Do you know anything about? Hey, did you know that Emily just got engaged?" Or like, can you tell me anything about Emily? She said, are you friends? And we both knew. The question was, are you connected electronically through Facebook? That's all it meant, right? Did you know that the average American Facebook user has 328 friends? And yet the average American would tell you that they have two close friends. Which, if we go back two decades where we think, oh, it probably was better, used to be six, and now we're down to two. There's 25% of Americans would say they have zero close friends. So an individual can have like 328 Facebook friends, but no real close friends. with a relationship that's truly mattering in their life. And so we can have all kinds of online activity and connectivity online, and yet no real relationship. So friend isn't what it's always been. Another rule is that family is not just those in our house. Just take a normal fifth grade kid, right? A normal fifth grade kid. He probably lives in a house, or he could live in a house with his mom and his stepdad, and maybe a biological sister, and two half-brothers. And then across town, his stepmom, who's no longer married to his dad, but now he has two half-brothers that live at his stepmom's house. And now dad lives across the country with his girlfriend, and the girlfriend has some kids from a previous relationship. And like, that's family. Family has changed. And so when we talk family, it's different. And then you throw in the mix how easy it is for us to relocate and go somewhere new for school, or go somewhere new for work, or whatever it would be. All of a sudden, people end up all around the country, all over the world, and the traditional family, it's just not here, it's everywhere. And so it becomes critical that we find relationships where people can step in as surrogate uncles and aunts and grandparents. And literally, that's part of the concept behind why the name of our church is Silver Creek Family Church. We want to be a church where families come, but we recognize that there can be relationships that can grow out of the church that bring it to a point where they're strong as family, where people are pouring into each other's lives, where we're encouraging each other, where we're supporting and loving and correcting and playing together, choosing to do life together at a level that's like family. So what we know as family has changed. Another rule is that we're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation. I didn't bring my phone out here, but if, let's say I took a selfie real quick, right? Or maybe we do a groupie. And then we throw that up on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or I don't know, there's thousands, whatever they are. And I just threw that up there. I'll bet you before the service is over, before I get off the stage, we'd have some, hey, nice black t-shirt or funny haircut or what, you know, like, why are you tweeting when you're on the platform? Like, we'd get some comments, right? Like, they would happen right away. I went to a jazz concert a couple weeks back at a high school, and the concert was happening. And so I just took a picture of the crew that was on the stage, and then I put it to Facebook and said, hey, fun to go to a jazz concert. And then I tagged the individuals that were part of the concert. There were people commenting. There were people saying, hey, great job. I mean, like, they weren't even there. And so these people that were a part of the concert, by the time the concert's over, they're able to look and see people commenting about the jazz concert. Like, we get affirmation, like, immediately. No longer do we have to wait for people to come home from their vacations to invite us into their living room to show us a slideshow or a photo album, right? Like, we actually get to see them standing in line at Disneyland. We get to watch them order the corn dog, like, live action corn dog. We get to be reminded at the moment that they're currently standing in the sunshine. You know how much... It's so much easier to be jealous if you say right now, I'm standing in the sun, than when you come home and next week we're standing in the rain together and you're like, last week it was sunny where I was at. I'm like, well, you're not in the sun now, right? Like, and so we don't get together and talk about the trip or talk about the jazz concert. We just saw it instantly. And so these relationships changed. And this thing that's happened is there's no longer delayed affirmation or gratification. It's all about right now. There's no waiting. And what this is beginning to create, it's establishing we're meeting this short-term need, but we're deferring this greater, deeper need. Sociologists are actually referring to it as deferred loneliness. Like, I feel lonely right now, and so I post something real quick and throw it up to Facebook or Twitter, and I get immediate feedback. So right now, I don't feel lonely. But I'm just deferring these relationships, and down the road, in the future, I don't have many connections. And so the loneliness is just deferred down the way. And we live for the instant like, but we're longing for love. And we're hooked on this instant gratification, but it's changing our relationships. Last rule that's changing is this, is that we have the power to do relationships on our own terms. Right? Larry sends me a text. Larry, I don't know what, but anyway, Larry sends me a text. I get to choose to read it. I get to choose to respond to it. I get to not respond to it. I get to read it later. I get to set my iPhone so that he doesn't know whether I've read it or not read it. Right? Like, I'm in control. We're in control of what we do or how we respond. Or Maybe Sam, just keep, you know, post something to Instagram. I have the power to determine whether it's like-worthy or not like-worthy. I can double tap on it and say, hey, nice cat. Or I can scroll past the cat picture again, right? And if Sam posts enough cat pictures, eventually I'm like, I'm not even going to follow you anymore. I don't like cats, right? Like, so, you know, there's a tricky thing here because I have to choose to unfollow Sam, not unfriend him. He's just annoying. I just want to unfollow so I don't keep see the cat pictures. I don't want to hurt him and say, you're not my friend anymore. Not a real friend. He was a Facebook friend. But you're right. Like, And there's this whole thing. I don't even know if you know about the young adults and teenagers. You can look it up on Urban Dictionary if you're brave enough to go there. But there's this thing called subtweeting or subposting. And essentially, the idea of it's this idea where you tweet in such a way that you mention that you're mad or disappointed or hurt or that some other person did something to you, but you don't actually mention the person by name very clearly, but everybody knows who it is. So like following a Sunday morning, somebody gets online, they went to church, right? And they don't mention my name, but they just say, hey, maybe let's just leave the judging to God, right? Like, okay. Hashtag, I don't even want to say. But just leave it at that, right? Like, we have the power, right? We get to block. We get to follow. We can lock ourselves in our houses, order everything online, and never deal with people. Like, virtual friendships. You don't have to ever come to church and deal with any of us again. You just stay home and check out the podcast, right? We get to manage relationships on our own terms. And rules will likely change as technology changes and as culture moves and as our mobility increases. Like, in the same way that the rules have changed today as they were like 50 years, it's just going to keep changing. And so the answer isn't for us to like fight the rules. The answer isn't for us to like, I like the way it used to be, right? Like, that doesn't, right? But we need to be aware of them. We need to keep applying this idea of how do I love through these rules? How do I continue to care about people? How do I love in such a way that these relationships are enjoyable and rich and matter and get deep enough in my life that it begins to actually impact who I am and that I begin to impact others and I yet don't allow them to crush me in my life? So having all of that in mind, let's talk for a bit about making it practical so we don't get crushed. Now, there's too many of us in this room for me to know all of our situations. And each of us, we each come from unique families. The dynamics in your home are different than mine, and the history of your family and the relationships, it's all different. So I want to try and throw out some practical ideas, some things, and then you have to actually begin to supply and look at how they match your situation, okay? So the things we're going to talk about, they're going to be sort of practical but generic, and then you have to kind of hone in on what that looks like in your life, exactly what that will look like in your situation, because it's going to be different than mine, and so then you have to look at that. But the foundation of it all starts with love. Am I acting? Am I making decisions in love? Do my choices reflect that I want what's best for others rather than demanding what's best for me? Am I thinking about you? Am I thinking about the people in my life? As I'm using Facebook, am I loving? Am I caring about them? And understand this, acting in love doesn't always mean we give everybody what they want. Acting in love doesn't mean we have to meet everybody's expectations. But as we look at these practical ways, if we can understand, if I can respond in love, then I can have confidence that even if I'm not meeting somebody's expectation, I'm responding in love, I don't have to feel guilty necessarily. Because around the holidays, there's a lot of expectations. And there's a lot of pressure. And so if I can recognize that within myself, I'm responding out of love, if I'm acting out of love, I don't necessarily have to make sure that everybody thinks what I'm doing is right. If I can honestly look within myself, I don't have to feel guilty for not meeting all of those things of what everybody wants me to do. But if I can look within myself and recognize that I'm acting out of love, then I can move forward with that. So here's three ways that we can approach relationships so we don't get crushed. And the first one is to value the person, not just the relationship. Value the person, not just the relationship. My wife and I, we have three kids. And I love my kids, and there's that basic reason because they're my kids, right? But my desire is I don't want to just value them because they're my kids. Like, biologically, we're connected. That's a cool thing, right? But, like, I want to choose to, and I want to pursue, and I want to value each of my kids, not just because they're my kid, but because of the people and the person that they are. That means I have to work at discovering who they are. I have to pursue getting to know them. I have to begin to work at discovering the little people that they are. And one of the greatest ways with kids that I can love my kids, because if I don't figure out the uniqueness of each of them, I'll just treat them all in sort of this generic way that's not valuing them. And as parents, one of the greatest ways that we can love our kids is to discipline them. But if I discipline my kids, I have to value each of them and then respond to them each in a unique way to the unique person that they are. So within my house, three kids, right? We've got one child that responds really, really well to the potential of being grounded from their phone. Okay? We got another kid that responds really, really well to the opportunity of getting extra chores. We have another that responds really, really well to deli meat. Wait, that's our dog. Sorry. Dog, deli meat. So, let's look. In the book of Romans, it kind of tells us this. So just, she does. She jumps for meat. She's really good. And actually, one of our kids will probably respond to deli meat pretty well, too. But so do I. Romans 12 says this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Now, I'm not saying that you're necessarily pretending to love the people that you're in relationship with. But is there true affection? Is there a genuine affection for who they are? Which means we have to learn to appreciate them. We have to figure out what it is about them that's unique and special and begin to say, that's what I love about you. Not just because you're my crazy uncle or my rude brother or smelly son-in-law. Like, what is it about them? Some of you that have smelly son-in-laws are like, oh, goodness. I can't believe just. So that means you and I have to spend time searching for things about people that we appreciate. Loving who it is that they are. Discovering what it is about them that is good. Now, even more practical and maybe useful so that you and I don't get crushed is that a part of genuinely loving others in our life can include creating boundaries to protect both them and you. So maybe at your holiday gatherings, when you get together, maybe there's a topic that tends to lead to fights. Or maybe there's a past moment that's got a lot of painful memories that just needs to be left alone. Or maybe there's some traditions that you've done for years and years and years, and they're just frustrating. So in love, maybe you just need to share and say, hey, you know what? We're not going to have that conversation this year. Hey, you know what? We're just going to avoid that tradition because I know I value you and I know what you care about and I know what I care about. And if we go there, it never works out very well. So let's establish some boundaries. Let's establish some expectations. Here are the activities that I'm willing to be a part and include in our holiday because I just want to love you. And I want to spend time and let's not make it about that. And then lovingly share how you feel about those things and do it before you arrive. Like, don't sit down at turkey and be like, okay, so here are the rules. Like, just, you know, let's talk this through. And then, here's the big step. After you've shared lovingly the things that you want to be a part of, when you gather, rather than spending the whole morning looking for, like, people to cross those boundaries or assume that, hey, he's probably going to mess it up again, like, spend that time pursuing why your family and friends, what it is that you appreciate about them. Discover what it is about them that makes them great. What's that uniqueness about them that just allows you to value them for who they are rather than the fact that they're just connected to you through some family connection or whatever it would be? Value the person more than just the relationship. Another practical thing for us so we don't get crushed is to be present. Most of us, many of us, we need to rediscover the power of practicing presence. Like being together with people. Jesus, what an amazing example of this. Like, could have just hung out in heaven, right? Like, sent us the Bible, pretty big text, but like, he could have just, but he came. Because he understood the greatest way that he could love you and love me and love all humankind was to be present and come and live among us. And not only did he show us love by coming, but by coming, he discovered who we are and what it is to be human. He found out what we're all about because he was present among us. So when you and I choose to be present, it demonstrates our love. It demonstrates our interest. It demonstrates our concern for others. It allows us to discover at a deeper level who the other person is. There's something powerful that happens when we just literally come together, when we're in each other's presence. In the book of Hebrews, it says this. It says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another." And if you're a Bible scholar, you probably know that this is talking more specifically about the idea of coming together for church and getting together to worship. And you know what? When we get together at the holidays, that can be an act of worship. That can be a time where we gather together. So I think this idea completely carries over. When we gather together and we're present, we have the opportunity and the level to encourage and to support and motivate one another increases because we're present. Some practical ways, and I think this can even just start in the form in which we communicate, the way that we interact with other people. We tend to choose whatever is the easiest and most convenient rather than choosing what has the greatest level of interaction. So what if you and I, when we begin to communicate, what if we, whenever possible, we chose to communicate face-to-face? And if face-to-face isn't possible, then let's communicate voice-to-voice. And then if voice-to-voice isn't possible, then thumb-to-thumb, right? Like, let's try and first interact and communicate person-to-person, and then maybe by phone, and then text or email. And I get it. Texting is so convenient and so easy, and I'm just as guilty as anybody, and there's work to be done, and there's things to do. But I think so many of the times we just gravitate towards texting because it's so easy, or shoot the email because we think but because of that, there's this interaction has been lost. So what if when we communicate, we say, you know what, I'm going to connect, and I'm going to communicate at whatever the level of greatest connectivity is possible to me. When possible, I'm going to be face-to-face. When possible, we're going to chat on the phone. If I have to, I'll text. When it comes to the holidays with friends and family and being around people, what if we just focus on the people that we're with more than the people that we're not with? Right? Because there's always somebody to text. There's always somebody to communicate. Just what if Facebook just happened later? What if we tweeted something after the fact? Right? Like the picture of your kid or the funny thing that your uncle said or what? Like, just let those wait. Because here's the tendency, I think, when we post something clever or something unique or whatever, our tendency then is we want to check, like, who likes it? Does that person over there, are they commenting? And so we're not really present because we're so worried about everybody that's there rather than just being attentive to where we're at. Stay focused on what's happening where you're at and be present. Last idea is to be engaged. I think several Christmases ago, I just had this idea that I was going to get out the video camera and I had this great plan, like every single gift that was open from the beginning to the end, I was going to catch the whole thing, you know, every tape and ribbon. And I was going to get these wonderful memories of Christmas captured. And I realized after a little bit, I was so busy trying to catch the memories that I wasn't a part of the memories. Like, all of Christmas was happening for me on this tiny little screen. All of a sudden, I realized, I looked up and I was like, oh my goodness, my family is right here and all I'm seeing is this. And I know that video and pictures, it's great to capture all of those things, but what I noticed for me at that point, I wasn't engaged in what was happening. So I don't know, set up your iPhone and put it on time lapse or what, you know, like get whatever. But for me, I recognized I was disengaged from what was happening and I needed to engage. Two verses out of 1 Peter and 1 John that just say, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. And then, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. I don't want my kids to remember me at Christmas behind a camera. I want to be engaged in the process of creating those memories. And I get pictures, again, important, videos, great. But we have to engage. Be a part of the process. Gentlemen, can I give you a couple huge ways to get engaged and ensure that the ladies that we care about don't get crushed? Get off the couch. Who cares? The game will, you know, you can watch it later or record it, or come out from behind the owner's manual of your new toy or your kid's new toy or whatever it is. Like, get up and help. Jump into the kitchen. Engage in the process of getting the meals ready, of cleaning the house, of wrapping the presents. Drag your kids into the mix, right? Like, figure out, how do we make dishes fun and maybe a couple break? Who cares? It'll be a great memory, right? Like, sing and dance and listen to music. Like, guys, we can be more engaged in the process. Ladies, you're welcome. But I'm not leaving you out. I'm not leaving you out. Listen, ladies, don't get so caught up in making sure that everything is perfect and Pinterest ready and keeping up with what everyone else is doing. Listen, your family, you're not going to believe me, your family will not feel more loved because you have the best centerpiece. Promise you. Your husband doesn't care at all. Okay? Like, men, amen? We don't even see it. Is there turkey? Yeah, let's go, right? And we help make the turkey, so now it tastes even better. Like we get, ladies, is the scent of the candles, does it match the holiday, right? Is it pumpkin at Halloween and, you know, candy cane at Christmas and a turkey candle at Thanksgiving? Or like that would drive your dogs crazy, right? Like, don't be so caught up in preparing to be ready that you're not engaged in the process. Students. Like high school, junior high kids. Like, listen, the time that you have left at home is limited. Like, you could probably figure out real quick, some of you are good at math, how many years you have left at home before you head off to, you know, you're done with school and go off to the big world. So at the holidays, don't just rush off to hang out with your friends. Stay, be engaged, figure out how to enjoy your siblings. Listen to your grandparents' crazy stories. True or not, it doesn't matter, right? Appreciate your parents and what they're doing for you, what they've gone through to make this day unique for your family. For all of us, it's a matter of deciding we're going to be engaged in the process. And holidays take efforts, and if we do that, in the end, we won't get crushed. But we have to recognize it starts with loving each other. Recognize that the rules for relationships have changed. But if we can manage through that and stay engaged and be present and value the person, those relationships can actually thrive through the holidays rather than being something that crushes us. Elizabeth pointed out these Connect cards that are in your program, and our desire for you is to take these and to think through, what can you do with this that will move you forward? What's your next step going to be based on what you've heard this morning? So as you think about the holidays coming up and just family in general and relationships, what's your next step? And maybe for you, your next step is just to establish some tech-free zones or times. Dinner, after dinner, whatever. Be more concerned about those you're with than those you're not. Maybe you just need to strive for some personal communication over convenient communication. Maybe just need to make those that you're with your priority. And lastly, just check yourself and make sure you're responding in love. Let's pray. God, this morning we would just ask that you would help us to really think through the relationships that we're a part of. God, that we would value them, that we would desire to be present, that we would desire to be engaged. God, but more than anything, that we would desire to love and to be willing to set some things aside that maybe are best for us and thinking about those that are part of our life and that we're in relationship with. Motivate us to take some steps necessary so that we don't get crushed. In Jesus' name, amen.